It's on Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Tomorrow, Viking economics. An economist explains what we can learn from the Nordic countries. And we'd love to include you in that conversation. What do you think works in our economy and what doesn't? Call and leave a message at 404-500-9457 and then find us on Twitter or Facebook. And be sure to join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. for more. According to a new study, more couples are feuding over politics, especially President Trump, many of them breaking up and some heading to divorce court. Joining us now from Wakefield Research, that's the Virginia-based polling firm that conducted the study, we have Nathan Richter and Lisa Kiefer. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
Also with us is Dr. David Ryback. He's a couples therapist in Atlanta and the author of several books about relationships. It's good to have you as well.
Good to be here.
Okay. Nathan and Lisa, well, let me begin with you, Nathan. What even brought you to this study of what's causing couples to break up? Or, I mean, actually, if you look at the questions, it's what causes them to argue? How big are those arguments? Those kind of things. What led you here?
Well, as a market research firm, Wakefield Research is in the habit of understanding what people are talking about and how that's affecting the things they buy and read. And there's no bigger story in the country right now than politics.
And Lisa, it appears that that bigger story is also a bigger source of disagreement. how much are people fighting about politics?
Yeah. So what we found in the research is, first of all, this is not a new phenomenon. People report that having had a relationship end at some point over political differences, roughly 1 in 10, and that number is 1 in 5 among millennials. But overall, this is something that every group seems to be experiencing, whether that is in the form of increased disagreements over the political environment in general, or disagreements over their views about President Trump specifically.
Let's hear from Great Moore. He's a divorced attorney in Washington, D.C., and he says he's actually seeing more people coming in who are splitting up because of political differences.
This gentleman had met with me several months back, and he was a Muslim American man. He had been here for many years, and his wife was Caucasian. They had gotten along fairly well up until the recent election, and he said she had become an increasingly strident sort of Trump supporter. They had argued quite a bit about it, and it got to the point where he told me she was questioning my patriotism.
Let's hear one more comment from Grant Moore. Again, he's a D.C. divorce attorney. He's been in practice for years, but he says this is happening to a larger extent, and they've even started asking about his politics before they hire him.
Well, I have now had multiple clients just sort of in passing ask me about my political beliefs, and that has never happened before. I mean, we run a pretty apolitical shop, you know, if we don't get involved in politics.
Okay, Dr. David Ryback, what is going on here? How is this different than, say, the days of Hoover, the days of Vietnam War? What's changed?
Well, a number of things have changed. The first thing is social media, and people are hearing and seeing things more quickly, more rapidly, more often than before. And relationships are not as peachy keen as we see in the romantic films out of Hollywood. Every relationship has some intrinsic conflict because basically people usually marry their opposites. I'd say in my experience about 70% of couples marry their opposites in terms of values, personality, etc.
What did you find, Nathan, in your research? Because you asked a bunch of questions about sort of the escalation of arguments, right? When does an argument get out of control and what was the subject of the argument? What did you discover?
Well, while the phenomenon isn't new, we do find Americans saying that they're disagreeing over politics more than ever since the election of President Trump. So we find about a quarter, 24% of Americans report this behavior. There are some generational differences there. Actually, this is one of, if you're interested, this is one of the questions where we do see millennials reporting to an even higher degree. 42% have argued with a partner over politics more than ever. But it is something experienced by all Americans in all parts of the country of all political backgrounds. So there's more argument for sure.
And Lisa, what is our history here? Have we been asking this in the past? Do we have sort of a trending line to know how different this is?
Sure. So I can actually take that as I've been following this for quite a while. So this is an increased rate of argument, but it's not a vastly increased rate. And I think that's important to note that as Americans, we have been arguing with each other for a very, very long time. That's certainly nothing
we
new.
We can all attest to that.
It's sometimes good for the democracy, if not good for our relationships. We have done research, for example, into workplace conversations for a number of years. And this is one of the periods where we see politics, typically one of the third rails of a workplace conversation, rising to the fore, rising to the top of things people are talking about at work. It's not entirely new. I think the intensity and frequency of it, we're seeing a rise right now. If history's any judge, you'll probably see an ebb eventually, too.
Let's hear, we actually spoke to a number of people in Atlanta and asked them about their politics and whether it's affected their relationships. Here is Miles Archer.
So, I had a friend a little while back. We had known each other a couple of years. We had met at camp. Great long-distance friendship. Politics came up every now and then again, and we never really agreed on it. A couple of smaller fights, but things really came to a boil with the recent election when I found out she voted for Trump. And, you know, that upset me and that hurt me, and we really got to talk about it for the first time, and I realized she was just massive racist. And we are no longer friends. Good riddance.
Okay. David Rybak, you are a psychologist. What are we hearing there in terms of the evolution of I just discovered after years that she was a massive racist?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we do marry our opposites in terms of values and so on. And these differences are usually plastered over and attempt at ignoring them.
So we tolerate them.
We tolerate them, exactly. And when something like this comes up, which is so basic, so primal to our values in terms of the difference in political stance, it cannot be ignored anymore. And so the differences that have been underneath the surface are suddenly brought up to the surface for the couple to deal with. So all these underlying conflicts that have been glossed over previously are now up front.
Let's hear another one of them. So here is what one Atlanta man has told us when we asked him about this issue.
I'm John Ray. I recently had a fallout with my brother. We kind of stopped talking and don't really communicate anymore after he developed a lot of really intolerant views about Muslim people.
So this is a case, doctor, in which someone is not, they're not even talking about themselves, right? It's one thing if somebody has views that relate to you as a person of color or an LGBTQ person, but this is views, irreconcilable differences over another group of people. How common is that?
Well, you know, our values have to do with our genes, surprisingly enough. And I found out that in my
research... Wait a minute. Stop.
Sure.
Our personal values, our moral values are genetic?
Absolutely. Research has indicated that there are some people who have more genes toward serotonin and others who have genes toward other hormones like dopamine. And these are hardwired into our systems. They did research on identical twins versus fraternal twins. The identical twins would always vote very similarly, not like the fraternal twins. So we're hardwired politically, believe it or not.
Okay, my mind is blown. But Nathan and Lisa, Nathan or Lisa, this complicates market research, doesn't it? Are you just supposed to be finding out who genetically you can appeal to or not? How does that complicate what you do?
Well, we'd be happy to start offering that as a service were it permitted. But no, I think, you know, as researchers, you know, we ask people's opinions and they freely give them. It's one of the fun parts of doing what we do. So, you know, there's always going to be something shaping those opinions and shaping conversation. You know, I'm reminded of the recession. And for so many years, you know, every conversation we had with consumers was about their finances. And, you know, that's at work, that's at home. And I think you're seeing a similar effect now, that now the conversation is politics. Who knows what the next thing will be? Maybe it'll be the environment. Maybe it'll be something else. It does not make our jobs any harder. It just gives us a reason to continue to have a job.
But Lisa, what valuable information do we take away from your research? What is it you can tell to a company and says this is how your consumers are changing and this is how you might appeal to them?
Yeah, I think, on the whole, all of the research that we do is to tap further into behaviors and perspectives that can, influence the way that consumers are thinking, the purchasing decisions that they're making, and just how it's impacting their daily lives. We work with a number of the Fortune 100 companies and companies all over the world, and that kind of information is very important to them in the decisions that they make to reach those consumers.
Okay, so most of the rest of my questions are for you, Doctor, because how do we get past this? Let's start with that question. Should you get past this? In the past, you say we've sort of papered over some of these differences. They haven't led to divorce. Is that healthier to tolerate these kind of political differences?
Well, we have no choice but to deal with the differences. You know, marriages go through phases. We marry because we're in love with our partner, and that's the first stage, romantic love. And then we get into the second stage, which is awareness or realization that, hey, we married someone with different values, different needs. And we have.
What if that awareness comes before you get married?
Not usually.
It doesn't usually happen.
Not usually. We marry because of the hormonal flow of love potion in our systems. And we're blinded to all these differences, which we only become aware of after a few years of marriage.
What if even if you've dated somebody for 5 or 6 years, you're still in the hormonal love potion phase?
That's a good point. If you're dating for a few years before marriage, you have a chance to discover this.
You have a chance. Okay.
But it's not until you're actually living under the same roof with the commitment of marriage or some kind of commitment that you come together close enough that the differences have become a problem.
So then what do you do?
Well, then you can become aware of the differences and deal with them and negotiate. That's the third stage of the marriage relationship. You become aware of the differences, you fight them, you struggle, and then you get to the point where you start negotiating. So if you can get to that point, then the political differences can be dealt with because you've already dealt with the differences in other areas.
Nathan, how do you guys know that your respondents are telling you the truth?
Well, we look at trends. So this is quantitative research. So across 1,000 nationally representative Americans, most of them are telling the truth. If there's a few of them who might be avoiding the conversation, for example, something unsocially sensitive like this topic, they don't affect the overall trend.
You mean because you're comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges?
Sure. And I wanted to comment too on something the doctor said about using argument as a way to resolve it. You know, the research actually does suggest he's right about that, the research we just did. When we look at the percentage of people who have argued and are arguing more, it's about a quarter, like I said, about 24%. But the percentage that have actually ended a relationship is 11%, and that's ever. So that would suggest that people are resolving their differences.
So, okay, doctor, give me some pointers. First of all, if you are listening and you are somebody who has argued over politics, maybe in a way or more vociferously than you ever have in the past, send us your questions. We still have minutes to get them answered for you. I'm speaking with Nathan Richter and Lisa Kiefer there with Wakefield Research, who did this survey, and also Atlanta psychologist David Ryback. So I am in a relationship. I find out that my spouse voted for Hillary or for Donald Trump. I vehemently disagree with that. What do I do?
First thing is to realize that there are differences. And if you can appreciate that you have married someone who is different from you because they were interesting because of that difference. You're quiet. They're an extrovert. They go to parties and take you. That's great. After a while, that becomes a problem. You don't want to go to these parties. My point is that if you can become aware and accept the fact that you're different, then that acceptance is the first step toward dealing with this conflict.
But that's also the sort of the sticking point, right? Because what if it's a difference I can't accept? What if, as you called it, a primal difference, which is just a basic moral difference of opinion?
Then we get to what we call maturity, which means that you
cannot... In a relationship.
Yes, you cannot change the world, and you probably cannot change your mate. And if you can accept that and appreciate that the differences you liked and wanted are still there, and if you can focus on what you liked about the differences and not what you hate about the differences, then you're on your way to resolving the problem.
Lisa, what other questions would you have? Do you want to ask? What kind of survey do you want to do next?
Well, one thing that we saw kind of crop up in this study particularly that Nathan had spoken about were the fact that this is something happening across all generations, but millennials seem to report it at greater rates. We didn't explore the motivations behind this, but that's, you know, an interesting topic. It could be something that we could look into eventually and as part of this ongoing research that we do. But I do think that there is something to be explored there among the younger generations. And is this indicative of a trend, you know, that will continue to happen with politics in general, or is it just a state of the current environment?
So let me put that to you, Doctor. What do you make of this generational divide that millennials are almost twice as likely to get into these arguments and have them become serious?
I think the millennials are less have less of a sense of commitment, or to put it in a more positive way, have more of a sense of independence and freedom so that they don't feel that they are forced to stay in a relationship as did previous, more traditional generations.
Meaning they feel like they're more likely to feel it's okay to get a divorce.
Divorce, yes.
Split up,
break up, yes.
Whatever like that. Okay, in the minute that we have left, what is the one best thing that you could do to deal with this kind of argument?
If you are in a relationship and you feel that you are at a point of no return, you're a dead end, do this. Put yourself in the shoes of your mate and see the perspective from inside your mate's mind. Put yourself in that position and explain the position from your mate's point of view, and you'll be on your way to success.
These psychologists always trying to make us empathetic. That is Atlanta psychologist David Ryback. We also spoke with Nathan Richter, partner from Wakefield Research, and managing director Lisa Kiefer at Wakefield. Thanks so much to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That's our show for today, but we would love to hear from you on this. How often have you argued over politics? How many times has those arguments become serious? Call and leave a message at 404-500-9457. You can also post on Facebook, of course, or reach us on Twitter. The show is at OST Talk, and I'm at Celeste Headley. For today, that's on Second Thought from GPB News. Have a great day.